Amen. Amen. Just remain standing and turn, if you will, Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter number 4. Amen. Amen. Appreciate and thank God for what we've enjoyed already. Amen. I mentioned in the first service that I thank God for the opportunity to have the marathon and see a successful marathon. Amen. Met our goal. A lot of times we don't. God let us meet it and meet it early and then surpass it. Amen. By a little over $2,000. Amen. And we were aiming even a little higher. And thank God for giving us an aim. But appreciate what He let come in. Amen. Trust that He'll bless it and use it for His glory. And bless everybody that gave and those that prayed and those that helped that we could give. Amen. Could have that opportunity. Amen. I thank Him for the revival meeting. Amen. Brother Raines and Brother Williamson together helped in our revival meeting. I'm thankful for that and the good services that we had. Thankful that Brother Raines got a good report on that tumor. Amen. And pray that God would continue to help. And know that's a monitoring situation and it'll be a continual thing for him to be concerned about. But be in prayer concerning that. We're thankful for his blessings. Amen. Do pray for Brother Steve. He's not feeling well, not able to be with us today. I know Brother Steve Ford as well. We've got others that are sick, and some that have had it, and some that are getting over it, and some, for Brother Steve, it's his second round of it. Amen. He's been teaching on Elijah. I guess he's going to start teaching on Elisha, getting a double portion. Amen. A double portion of that flu. Amen. Amen. But seriously, pray for him, and pray that God would touch and help. In that. Amen. Alright, Matthew chapter number 4, and we're looking at the temptation of Christ in the wilderness, and this will be our third message on this text as we're trying to do a study on these verses. I'll start with verse number 1, read down through verse number 11. I'm going to be focusing primarily on verse number 1. We're still really introducing the situation and some thoughts concerning that. But the Bible says in verse number 1 of Matthew chapter 4, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." Let's go to the Lord in prayer once again. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes. Yes. Help us now, Lord. Help us. Yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. Comfort them. Help them. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I certainly do appreciate that prayer. Amen. Amen. Well, a couple of reasons why I did want to go ahead and preach today. A lot of times I don't preach on the Sunday after marathon. One reason being that we're just so tired. And I try to get in here at 6 o'clock every morning, and marathon a couple hours before anybody else gets here. And then usually I'm here, you know, to the end, and I'm wore out. But God's given me strength, amen, today. I appreciate Him helping us do that. Not complaining about them, just telling you that's why a lot of times that we don't. But I felt like I'm going to be gone now for a few days, and I want to be able to give you something that might be helpful to you. Not that I think I'm the only one that can. I certainly don't. But I want to fulfill my obligation being the pastor that God called and really supposed to feed the sheep. Amen. And I'm going to line up some men. I have some already lined up to some degree. Matter of fact, next Sunday morning, Lord willing, Brother Hall will be preaching next Sunday morning. And then Brother Bell will be preaching on that Sunday night. And I'll be lining up some on Wednesdays as we'll be gone two Wednesdays. So remember that and back the services up. We'll be praying for you and trust that God might help. But besides all that, I feel like I've got something that I really believe is timely for every one of us. I believe God put us in this place, at the right place, at the right time, for a purpose. And I believe that it's very possible that there are some people sitting on the sound of my voice, whether over the airwaves or in the pew, and I believe in the pew, that are going to be facing a temptation of the devil. You're going to be facing a trial. Not necessarily a temptation to sin or an enticement to sin, but an enticement maybe just to stand on your own two feet rather than trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, rather than trusting God and doing what God has told you to do. And so I want to try to preach this to encourage you to trust the Lord. Amen. To encourage you that you don't have to fall. Just when the devil roars, when the lion roars, that don't mean you have to be a casualty. Amen. Amen. You can fight against the devil. Amen. And I'm glad you can. You can stand against the devil. Now, I preached, as I said, two messages on this already here in the pulpit. I preached it in on our radio broadcast sometime back in 2015 and looked at it through that. But from the pulpit here, I preached a couple of weeks ago on just really an introduction to this temptation in the wilderness. I pointed out two primary points. I talked about the prompting and I talked about the preparation. The prompting was, he didn't walk into temptation on his own. He was led of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. He was in God's will. It was not this trouble came because he was out of God's will. No. He was right in the center of God's will, and yet the trouble came. Amen. And then the preparation was that he fasted those 40 days. And I believe that God, the Holy Ghost, will very well lead us to equip us to face the battle even before the battle comes. Amen. And that's the blessing of the goodness of God. Then I preached last Sunday on the when and the where of temptation. And the when and the where, you could talk about the period, that's the time, and you could talk about the place. Amen. And to keep it alliterated, you've got the prompting and the preparation and the period and the place of the temptation. Amen. And now today, I want to try to preach on this thought. I want to preach on the perception of the temptation. The perception of the temptation. And really, to be honest with you, I'm going to tie into what Brother Williamson was preaching this morning. That's how the Holy Ghost usually does it anyway. Amen. He allows one message to tie to the other. And he's talking about our eyes and how we see things and how we look at things. And I want us to look at this temptation, and I want to make sure that we're looking at it with eyes of faith and eyes of the Spirit rather than eyes of failure and eyes of the flesh. Amen. I want us to be able to see it like that the Bible shows it and like I believe it is to be in reality. Amen. Now, I'll have three or four points that I'll talk about in this, in the perception. First of all, in the perception, I want to deal with verse number 1 is where I'll be dealing with this morning and looking at some other verses to tie in. He said, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, in this perception, some people read this and they say they do not believe that this was an actual account. They believe this was perhaps a dream that our Lord had. And some people, they try to spiritualize it and say, oh, he was too holy to ever have had hand-to-hand combat with the devil. They'll say he was too holy to ever have had that actually take place in his life. And so they will say maybe it was just a vision. Maybe it was not a reality. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that some of the ancient writers, more mystical writers, and some of the more modern writers, more liberal writers, would say to us this did not actually take place, that our Lord never was actually in the wilderness for 40 days and actually face to face with the devil. Matter of fact, some of them will tell you that there's no reality of a real devil in the world today. I'm going to tell you, there's not just one devil. There's a bunch of devils in our world today. It's a real thing. Amen. It's a real thing that evil is present in our world today. Amen. But I do believe in a personality that is the head honcho, so to speak, that is the general of the army of evil, amen, that is the one that's leading force. He's the prince and the power of the air, amen. He's the God of this world, the Bible calls him, amen, with a little g. He's the one that rules over the wickedness that's in this world. But they'll tell you that wasn't a reality, that it perhaps was just a vision or an imaginary incident. But I want to say just outright that I believe that the Bible is true and that the Bible's not trying to deceive us. When it says this account took place, it literally took place. Amen. Matter of fact, you see here in Matthew 4 verse 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, is repeated in Mark. Mark chapter 1 verse 12 and verse 13 says, and immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. And then in Luke chapter 4 verse 1, and Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. Verse 2, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Amen. So I'm just simply saying, Matthew said it's real, Mark said it's real, and Luke said it's real, and I'll take them and God's word that it was a real incident. Amen. It was not imaginary. It was not just a thought process. It was a reality. Amen. By the way, I'll say this. If we can relegate this just to the imaginary, then we've lost anything in the life of Christ as being a reality. Maybe I should say we've lost everything in the life of Christ as being a reality. If this was just a vision, if it's the fact that he was too holy to have actually stepped into the ring or stepped onto the battlefield against the devil, if he was too holy to have done that, was he not too holy to go to the cross? Was he not too holy to allow Judas to kiss him on the cheek? Was he not too holy to stand before Herod? Was he not too holy to stand before Pilate? But I want to say to you that God not only let him go hand to hand against the devil, but God allowed him to be placed into the hands of men that are not much better than devils. Amen. Matter of fact, Judas was a devil, the Bible said, from the beginning. Amen. And God, in his sovereignty, allowed him, amen, to get in that. Let me ask you this. If this is imaginary, it's not real, did Jesus really feed the multitude? Did Jesus really walk on the water? Did Jesus really raise Jairus' daughter from the dead? Did he really raise the widow of Nain's son from the dead? Amen. Did he really open blinded eyes? Did he really give strength to lame legs? Did he really give speech to those that were dumb? Did he really cast out devils out of those that were devil-possessed? Can he really save? I want to say to you, yes, he really raised the dead. And he really opened blinded eyes. And he really lifted up those that were crippled. And he really is able to save those that are lost. Amen. Amen. I want to say right off the bat, these were not imaginary happenings. Amen. They were actual happenings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He actually did all those miracles that people question. He actually went to the cross of Calvary. And he actually bowed his head and died. Amen. Heard a preacher over at Brother Logson's recently. I was telling Brother Hall about it. Brother Tully preached about Calvary. Preached on the seven sayings of Christ on the cross. And we've heard different, but a great message. Good message. And he's talking about Jesus gave up the ghost, as the Bible said. But it said he bowed his head and died. He made this statement. He said Jesus didn't drop his head and died. Amen. You drop it when you can't hold it up anymore. No, he could still hold it up, but he chose to bow his head. Amen. And he willed himself to death. Amen. on the cross for you and I. Thank God He did. Amen. Literally did it. And He literally got up from the grave 3 days later. Amen. Victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Amen and amen. Well, I'll say, not only do I reject this as being imaginary, and I say it's real, is because if Jesus only faced imaginary temptations, then that doesn't give me any hope when I face real temptations. But if He faced real temptations, if He defeated a real devil, amen, if He fought a real battle, if He won a real victory, that gives you and I hope when we face the real devil and we face real temptations, that we too, amen, can experience real victory. Amen. I'm talking about the perception of the temptations. Let me give you a second thought about the perception. I want you to think about the permission for the temptation. The devil did not lure Christ unsuspecting into this temptation place. Amen. I mentioned to you that some of the writers that I read after, primarily F.W. Krumacher, great, great writer, great thinker of the past. I mean, amen. The 1800s, he wrote some tremendous things about the cross, tremendous things about the life of Christ, just tremendous. But he made this statement. He believed that Christ did not know that these temptations were going to take place, that the devil, maybe as we'd say, blindsided him. And that was, he said, to show that God could deliver even from the blind side. But here's what I believe. I believe Jesus Christ knew the end from the beginning. Amen. Amen. I believe He knew exactly what was going to take place, and yet He knew that through the power of God, He could overcome. Amen. And He went through all this to show you and I that He did overcome. But He was tempted of the devil, not lured and not tricked by the devil, but He walked right into that fight knowing what He's getting into. Amen. The devil is a roaring lion, but he's not loose to do as he pleases. Thank God. This text, I believe, shows us that. Amen. Our Lord Jesus went into that wilderness to fast. And while He was there, He knew this was designed by the purpose of God. He was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. I say those are fearful words. Amen. That the Spirit of God might lead the Son of God into the presence of the devil for the purpose of allowing the devil to try to make some inroads, to try to detour, to try to bring some troubles our way. Amen. That's a terrible thought. Amen. And yet, when I think about it, it's a wonderful thought. Amen. That God, and by the way, it ought to bring comfort to us. Amen. That God allowed His Son to face that, so when you and I face it, we can have comfort that Jesus has already walked this path. Jesus has already tread this way. Amen. And He's cleared the way for us. Amen. And amen. Thank God He has. Amen. Turn to Romans chapter number 15. Let me show you some verses of Scripture real quickly. Romans chapter number 15. Amen. I promised you a stem winder this morning. We wound our clocks back last night. Might need to wind your stem forward, amen, a little bit this morning. Amen. I'll try to hurry quickly as I can. Romans chapter number 15 and verse number 4. Romans chapter number 15, verse number 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Amen. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 11. I'm saying that the Bible said God wrote those things down for our comfort. They were written down for our learning. They were written down for our patience and comfort, that we might have hope. Amen. He allowed these things. He allowed not only Christ to go into the temptation, but He allowed Matthew, Mark, and Luke all to pin this down for us that we could see it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 11 says something very similar. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Amen. God allowed these things to be written that we might learn from them, amen, and that we might grow from them, amen, that we might have patience. That means we might endure suffering as a good soldier. Amen. That we might endure hardness as a good soldier. That we might have that comfort that we know that things, the devil, though he's attacking, it's not a surprise to God. Though he's attacking, he is not unrestrained. He is not free and able to launch when and where he will. But God's got a place and God's got a time. And if you find yourself in the furnace, remember, God's in control of you, even in the furnace. That's why I let you get there at this time. Amen. I do believe that. I really do. Amen. The devil may throw his fiery darts. He may throw his fiery darts. But God is the one that tells him when and where he can aim. Amen. Does not go unnoticed by our captain of our salvation. Amen. Does not go unnoticed by our Lord of hosts. Amen. Our Lord knows where you are and the Lord knows where the devil is, and he's able to keep the two of you apart or to allow you to go face to face at his time. Amen. The preacher said this in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse number 11. He said, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. I'm telling you, the devil cannot defeat us just because he's quicker than we are. He cannot defeat us just because he's stronger than we are. We've got a God we can trust in. We've got a Savior we can turn to. Amen. We can find victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn back to Job chapter 1. You know this story well and might not have to read it, but I'd like for you to see it. Job chapter 1 and the account of Satan trying to attack a child of God. You remember while you're turning there, you remember our Lord said to Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat. Something I've learned about that. Listen, there's a real devil and the real devil has you in his crosshairs. But he has to ask permission before he can pull the trigger. That's what Jesus said. He's desired. Who did he desire? Who did he ask? Amen. The devil's got to get permission before he can pull the trigger on you or I. Amen. Amen. Job chapter number 1, verse number 9. And we'll read through verse number 12. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God? Let me find it. Doth Job, does it say, yeah, fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is thy, or is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Amen. Amen. The devil had to ask permission to attack Job. Here's what the Lord said, hast thou considered my servant Job? I like it. I like the way that text pulls it out there. God said to Satan, whence comest thou? In other words, where have you been? What have you been doing? And if I could paraphrase it, the devil said, I've been walking to and fro in the earth, been walking up and down in it. In other words, he said, I go where I want to. Nobody tells me where to go. I go where I want to, and I do what I want to. And God said, have you been on Job's property lately? And the devil said, well, no, I ain't been on Job's property. You got all those no trespassing signs around Job's property. You got a hedge around it. That's why I can't get there. By the way, he ain't going where he wants to.
Amen.
Amen. If he went where he wanted to, he'd be sitting in your lap today. He'd drag you down to hell today if he could do what he wants to do. But he can't, thank God. Amen. 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 God said, hast thou considered my servant Job? He said, you got all those no trespassing signs on his property. If you let me have him, I'll tell you, I'll make him do what I want him to do. He won't do what you want him to do. I'll make him do what I want him to do. And so the Lord said, okay, here's what I'll do. And he turned him over, but he limited what the devil could do. Amen. I'm glad to report to you that the devil is still under control of God. Amen. The devil is doing some terrible things. And the devil is a very terrible creature, but he's not getting to do all that he wants to do because there's still a God in heaven on the throne. Amen. Restraining him. By the way, in this world, it's wicked. Our world's wicked, buddy. Wicked. Amen. You take the hearts of men so black that they will do perverse things even with children. That is a black heart, buddy. That is a depraved mind that can even imagine some of the things they'll do. Amen. Desecrate the house of God and the property of God. That is a depraved mind that'll do those things. Are you listening to me? It's a dark world. Amen. But there's still a restraining force in the world. Amen. There is still the Holy Ghost and the people of God in this world that is restraining the devil from doing all he wants to do. Amen. Amen. Well, we notice in this text in Job, not only must Satan only attack when he asks permission of God, but consequently, our Lord has perceived, has already looked over the attack plans and has a plan of resistance. Amen. Amen. Our Lord looks at that and he said, okay, you know, maybe it might do Job a little good to have a little bit of trouble. Amen. You say, preacher, trouble don't ever do us any good. That's why God lets trouble come our way, because trouble does do us good. Amen. Charlie Brown taught us that. Charlie Brown had a little saying. You remember what he said? He said, good, what was the next word? Grief. Grief's not a good thing. But what he was saying to us, sometimes trouble really does do us good. Amen. God allows trouble in our life to bring us to a place we'll pray, to bring us to a place we'll trust Him, to bring us to a place we'll watch where we step. Amen. And by the way, when you stumble once or twice, you'll start paying attention to where you're walking. Are you listening? Amen. And so God might say, well, it do you good to have a little bit of difficulty. It might do you good to face a little bit of trouble in your life, so you'll start watching where you're going and watching what you're doing, be a little bit more circumspect about the way you're living. Amen. The devil does have tremendous power, but he is not omnipotent. Amen. The devil is a created being. Amen. He pretends to be the God of this world, but he still answers to the only true and living God. Amen. He has been defeated by our Lord Jesus on Calvary. Colossians chapter 2 verse 15 says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them, openly triumphing over them in it. Amen. I'm telling you, the devil is a defeated foe. He has met more than his match when he met Jesus on Calvary. Amen. Amen. Satan is part of that principalities of heaven that is now on the earth, that is trying to bring forth that evil empire, you might say. But I'm glad he must bow to the scepter of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 1 verse 21 says this. Far above, talking about Christ being exalted, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. I'm glad our Lord Jesus has been given a name which is above every name. Amen. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Amen. Of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, every knee shall bow and shall declare and admit and announce that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. One day even that devil, one day even that wicked one is going to bow and admit that Jesus is Lord. Amen. Notice the perception. It's real. Notice also the perception there was permission that was given. And then let me give you a last one. One last one. And that don't mean that it's going to be quick, because I got a little bit more thought in this one. And there's the purpose. And we'll have to look into this even more on down the road. When troubles come, Christ has a purpose. One of the things that bothers us, and I say this, I think maybe primarily men, maybe men and women both. I know men think differently than women, and we joke about that and laugh about it, but it's true. There's some differences in the way that we think. But I think we're made in the image of God into this, that we like order and we dislike disorder. Right? We were talking last night or yesterday afternoon sometime about OCD, and some people are, you know, overly, that the disorder is that they are overly occupied, they are compulsive about that thing, about things being in order. That's where the disorder comes in. But it's true that we like things in order. We like to be able to plan things. And we don't like it when our plans are thwarted. Amen. One of the problems that we face in life is that when troubles come, sometimes it plagues our mind that Where'd it come from? What's the use of this? Why now? Why me? All those kind of questions come in. Is there a purpose in it? Can I tell you, our God is a God of order. And from the time He spoke time into being, He's been a God of order. And there's order in this world. And the devil's doing his best to bring disorder, but it's all even in the plan of God. When Judas came that night and kissed our Lord on the cheek and betrayed our Lord into the hands of evil men, I'm telling you, God wasn't sitting up there saying, oh no, what am I going to do now? No, God knew what He's going to do before the foundation of the world. Amen. Amen. God knew what He's going to do. And He might have allowed man to do it, or He might even allow the devil to do some things, but they're not going to escape the ultimate plan of God. Amen. There is a purpose in the temptation. Amen. The Lord may very well use Satan like He used some in the Old Testament. Amen. This morning my Bible reading was in the first four chapters of the book of Daniel. Daniel was in Babylonian captivity. Just finished up the book of Ezekiel in that same captivity scenario. And God used Nebuchadnezzar to teach Israel a lesson. To bring Israel into subjection. And God said this. He said it all through the Bible. God would use the heathen, if I could say it this way, as a rod to chasten His children. Amen. The way we think of a rod, I'm not talking about a baseball bat. I don't think you ought to use a baseball bat on your children. Say amen right there. Amen. I think you got to be careful. I'm serious now. You got to be careful. But a good hickory switch. Good cane hickory switch. Amen. I think that's more. As a matter of fact, if you look the word rod up in Strong's Concordance, you'll find out that's along the line of what it's talking about. Amen. Doesn't have to come from a hickory tree. You can make a hickory switch out of an oak limb. Amen. Not all that good, but a maple or whatever you find, one of those things that you can find. But the thing about that is that it won't do permanent damage.
Right.
Amen. It won't do permanent damage, but it teaches a lesson. It stings. More than it hurts, it stings and it embarrasses. And the sting stays with us. But you know what God would do after He used that hickory switch on the children of Israel? God would break that hickory switch. God would break that rod. Nebuchadnezzar rose up in his pride. But God broke Nebuchadnezzar. Babylon rose up and took Israel in captivity. But Babylon is crushed even to this day. Amen. And you go through all the Bible, Assyria and Egypt and all the different ones that God allowed to rise up one day after God had used them to teach His people a lesson. God would break them. I want to tell you, hallelujah to God. One day the devil is going to be broken by the hand of God. Amen. God may very well use him to teach me and you a lesson. Amen. But when he's done, he'll break him. Turn with me to Rome, or Revelation. We'll get over there. Revelation chapter number 20. Revelation chapter number 20. Amen. You'll see this in the Scripture.
That's right.
Amen. He will break into pieces that old dragon, that old serpent, amen, the devil and Satan. Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Amen. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent. Now, in order to make sure you don't misunderstand it, he tells you, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Amen. And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. Amen. I'm telling you, there's coming a day when the devil will be broken. Amen. When one angel going to come down with a chain and going to tie that devil up. Amen. Going to bind that old serpent, that dragon up, and going to cast him into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Hallelujah. We'll reign with Christ. Amen. That 1,000 years. And that's not the final defeat.
Amen.
Amen. But there is a final defeat promised. Amen. It is yet in the future. Amen. And I want to tell you, Christ is not only going to defeat him that day with the angel with the chain. He defeated him on Calvary. But he defeated him right here in Matthew chapter number 4 in the text that I read.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Matthew 4, Mark 1, and Luke 4. All of them tell us our Lord defeated the devil. The devil never got one toehold. Amen. The devil never made one mark on our Lord Jesus. He might have bruised his heel. That's as far as he got. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's as far as he got. Thank God we have a victor that is a complete victor. Amen. He is our good shepherd, but he's also the captain of our salvation. And he is able to protect his sheep. Amen. He's able to punish the enemy. Amen. There may be fiery darts of the wicked one flying all around us. But remember that our Lord is the one who is leading us in the conflict. Amen. He's leading us in the conflict. He was led of the Spirit. And He's leading us the same way. He is our strength and He is our shield, the Bible says. Amen. Amen. Now, we face temptations against the wicked one. But you can rest assured that God has a purpose. Amen. God has a purpose. Amen. That purpose may very well be to reveal to you and I the grace of God. May reveal to us the extent of the grace of God. How, what God has done in our heart. Amen. What He has done in us. You think about Abraham. You remember that Abraham was tempted? One text said he was tempted. Another text said he was tested. It's really the same thing. God doesn't tempt man. That's what the Bible said. God doesn't tempt. He's not tempted. Amen. But God does test. And God tested Abraham. Amen. Told him, take his son upon Mount Moriah. Offer his son. By the way, when he said it, he said, thy son, thine only son. You and I know that Abraham already had another son. He already had Ishmael. Right? But Ishmael wasn't the son of promise. Ishmael wasn't the son that God recognized. Amen. By the way, tell that to the Arabs. Amen. They're descendants of Ishmael. They claim that land because of Abraham. God didn't recognize Ishmael as the son of promise. He was not the son of promise. God recognized Isaac as the son of promise. Amen. And as He recognized that son of promise, He said, take thy son, thine only son, and offer him as a sacrifice to me on the mount that I shall show thee. Abraham took Isaac and they went upon Mount Moriah. 3 days journey. You know the story. And as they climbed up that mountain, they took the wood off of the donkey's back and left the servants and the donkeys down at the foot of the mountain. And he laid that wood on the back of Isaac. Amen. And as they climbed up that hill, Isaac looked at his father and he said, behold the knife and behold the fire. But he said, where is the lamb? Amen. Where is the lamb? And Abraham said, God shall provide Himself a lamb. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, God was not trying to figure out what He's going to do. God didn't bring Abraham through that so that God could see what would happen. God brought Abraham through that so Abraham could see what would happen. Amen. So Abraham could see that ram caught in the thickets. Amen. And so you and I can see it in that story. Sometimes trouble comes your way so you can see what God's doing in your life. Sometimes trouble comes in your life so that your neighbor can see what God's doing in your life. Amen. So that your children or your grandchildren, somebody down the road can see what's in your heart. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to tell you, when trouble comes our way, we ought to persevere in prayer. Amen. We ought to hang on to God in prayer. We ought to stay in the Word of God, reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God. Amen. And stay with God. Don't kick out of the traces. Stay in the will of God. I'll tell you another instance, another story, an occasion of it happening. And I believe it was exactly the way God had it planned. You remember when Jesus put those disciples on the boat in Mark chapter 6 and told them to go to the other side. You remember that, don't you? He told them to go to the other side. And He went upon the mountain to pray. And while He was praying, sometime in the night a storm arose. And they're out there in the storm. And the Bible says that Jesus saw them rowing and toiling. Amen. He saw them. They're in a storm, but they're still trying to do what He told them to do. Amen. They're still trying to go where He told them to go. They haven't tucked tail and run. They haven't called it quits and give up. They're still trying their best to stay on course as best they can. And Jesus came to them walking on the water. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, He may allow the storm to come so that you and I will see if we really do have the perseverance to stay with the stuff. If we really will stand up when the old lion roars.
and the wolf's howling at the door. Amen. Will we really stand? I believe He wants to show us what we can do by the grace of God. Here's another purpose, I believe, in that storm, or purpose in that temptation, trouble that comes your way, is to show us what's inside us. Not just the good, but to show us how much of the weakness is still in our flesh. Amen. To show us that we think we're standing, but we better take heed lest we fall. Amen. We think we're spiritual, but we better look around and just see how much weakness there is still in our body. Amen. Have you ever said something and immediately after you said it, almost before the words are out of your mouth, you wish you'd never said it? You almost hate yourself. That's a saying we say. We almost hate yourself for saying it. You ever done something that shortly after you did it, you almost hate yourself for doing it? Amen. Sometimes God lets the devil shoot an arrow and wound us so we'll recognize, you know, if I'd have had that shield of faith up like I should have, that never would have happened. You know, if I'd have prayed like I should have, if I'd have stayed in the Bible like I should have, if I had been faithful to the house of God like I should, if I had been walking, had God on my mind like I should, those things would not have happened. Amen. Sometimes He allows us to face these troubles and these trials to show us just how feeble we still are on our own 2 feet. Amen. Amen. We read the Bible, you read like Hebrews 11, we tend to think of those men as supermen. Amen. Superheroes of God, heroes of the faith we call them. Some kind of a holy one that has done an exploit of faith. Oh, we look at them, but God shows us their failures too. God shows us their feebleness too. Amen. I'm telling you, He shows us that so that we, when we see our feebleness and our failures, we know that by the grace of God, we still can overcome like those men and women did. Amen. And I could name over and over. I'll leave that alone. Amen. Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 3 says this, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Paul said in Romans chapter 7 and verse number 18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." Amen. Amen. Let me say something about Romans 7 before I move on. I don't have time to run this rabbit long, but I want to lay the map down. One of these days we'll look at it. But Romans chapter number 7, I don't believe Paul was living in adultery. I don't believe Paul was a cusser. I don't believe Paul was a drunkard. I don't believe Paul was just living, wallowing in sin and saying, "I wish I could do better, but I can't." I don't believe that. I believe Romans chapter number 7 is showing us that man in his flesh cannot keep the law of God. The law of God never was given so that we could do it and live. It was given to show us we can't do it. Therefore, the only way we can live is to turn to Jesus. Amen. Amen. And Paul was saying that in myself, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. I don't have any ability in myself. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 12, Paul said, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Amen. Perhaps one of the reasons why the Holy Spirit leads us into that wilderness where we are going to face the devil is that He intends to humble our pride. He intends to humble our pride. Amen. Amen. Sometimes He stings us just to remind us who we are and that our righteousness is only in Jesus. Amen. Let me close with a couple of questions. I'm almost done. Some questions about the temptation that I think just logical that you ought to think. And matter of fact, I'm appreciative. The Bible is a book of faith, but a logic. It's not afraid of logic. A logical man can see the truth in the Word of God. Amen. The Bible's not afraid of logic. I know some people, for example, I remember a man giving an illustration. His family sang out in Kansas years ago when one of the first camp meetings that they had out there. They were from North Dakota. Joshua, remember, my wife remember the Schmidt family. And they sang, and he grew up a Catholic. And his wife was a Methodist, but she didn't go to church. So when they were getting ready to get married, she had to convert to Catholicism. So she had to take those classes. And so he said one night in one of the classes, he said to the nun that was teaching the class, there's none that's righteous, amen, not even one nun, amen. He said to the nun that was teaching that class, he said, now I know that Mary was immaculate, that Mary had no sin, that Mary is the mother of God. I know all that, but he said, where's that in the Bible? And here's what she said. Oh, she said, it ain't in the Bible. She said, matter of fact, a whole lot of what our church teaches is not in the Bible. I said, praise God, I'm glad she said that. But she said, that's why you got to take it on faith. You just got to believe the church. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you got to believe the church. It says you got to believe the Bible. You got to believe the Bible. You know how to defeat the devil? You can't say, this is what my church says. You got to say, it is written. It is written. It is written. You got to be able to believe the Bible. Amen. And logic. The Bible's not afraid of logic. Amen. And so I thought about some of these things when you come to this avenue of temptation and we're looking at this and we see our own weaknesses. It shows us how we got to trust in the Lord Jesus. We got to trust in His righteousness. But you might ask some questions. For example, why would God allow His own Son, I'm talking about Jesus Christ, to be tempted like is recorded in the Bible? Why would God allow Jesus to be tempted that way? Well, I believe one reason, one purpose is to show us that no matter how high our calling, no matter how holy our calling, we're no higher than He is, and we're going to face the same things. Amen. We're no more holy than He is. We're going to face the same thing. If the captain of our salvation had to face the lion, we better expect to face him as well. Amen. Amen. Perhaps even a head-on collision with the devil. That's what happened to our Lord here in this wilderness temptation. Then another one is to give us hope. If Christ came out unscathed, if Christ came out victorious, you and I can do the same. Amen. Amen. If Christ went through this being led of the Holy Ghost, we can trust and follow the Holy Ghost as well. Amen. Then here's another question. This is the last question I'll ask. Logical. You might say, preacher, if Satan... By the way, Satan's not a dummy. He's very smart. But it's amazing how blind some even smart people can be. They can be so smart in some things and so, for lack of a better word, ignorant, blind to some other things. The devil is very wise in his warfare. And so you might say, if the Satan knew that Jesus Christ, the Holy Son of God, was not going to yield to his temptation, why would he bother? Why would he bother attempting to bring these things to our Lord? Well, first of all, I'll say this. I got a couple of reasons, I think. One reason is the devil hates God so much that even though he knows he can't hurt him, just in that hatred, he's going to lash out at him. Amen. The devil knows he can't drag us down to hell, but that's not going to stop him from doing his best to lash out at us. Amen. You ever seen a child get so mad at his dad, he just beat on his dad, and dad can just laugh it off, shrug it off. Don't bother him. It's like a mosquito beating at him. Amen. But that anger, that, I'm telling you, that's how the devil is. He hates God so much that he'll lash out at God every way and every time that he can. We got to remember, the devil's not your friend. I know the devil will tell you, come follow me and I'll show you fun. No, he won't. He'll kill you if he gets a chance. He'll destroy your testimony if he gets a chance. He'll steal your purity if he gets a chance. Amen. He's not a friend. He hates God and he hates you. He'll do his best to hurt you if he can. Then here's the second reason. Perhaps Satan mounted this attack on Christ because he wishes to strike fear in me and you. That if he could do such to the Holy Son of God, you think about what he might do with me and you if we don't stay close to God. Amen. You think about what he might do when he gets us in his sights. When he zeroes in on you and I, what he might do if we don't stay close to Christ. Let's stand to our feet. I preached this message this morning with the thought, the devil, there is a real devil, and he really hates God, and he really hates you, and he does his best to destroy. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. And Satan longs to destroy people. He longs to destroy ministries. He longs to destroy families. He longs to destroy peace and tranquility. Amen. He longs to destroy order. He wants to bring chaos into the world as best he can. I'm telling you, we got a real enemy. But we got a real Savior that defeated that enemy. You can trust Him. If you've never called on Him as your Lord and Savior, you've never trusted Him, today'd be the time to do that. If you are saved, maybe you're slipping. Maybe you're walking in your own way rather than His way. You better beware. There's a devil in that wilderness. There's a serpent coiled up there, ready to attack. Heavenly Father, I want to tell you again, Lord, I love you. Thank you for the privilege to be in the house of God this morning. Privilege to study the Scripture and think on it. Help us, O Lord, we might receive the truth from the Word of God. Lord, help us, we might be armored. We might be soldiered up that we can stand when the attacks come. Help us, Lord, not to stand in our own strength, but to stand in Thine. Lord, You get the glory. We'll thank You. I do pray, bring some sinner to Christ, for it is too late. In Christ Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing. If the Lord spoke to you and you need to come pray, we want to give you opportunity to do that while we sing these songs.